The Stop and Think News podcast begins now.
Hey everybody, Joe from Stop and Think News here. I don't have a super long show. I know I always say that and then end up having a super long show. But this time I'm not kidding because I only have a handful of articles that I wanted to go over with you that I think deserve your attention. Some because, well, one of them at least is super funny. And a couple others just I found interesting. So we'll go over those and move on with that. There's three articles. The first being this one, government employee violated law on January 6th but wasn't prosecuted. Document, Treasury Department worker lied to investigators, Inspector General says. This is coming from the Epoch Times or Epoch Times or Epic Times. Now, this says a U.S. government employee violated the law on January 6th, 2021, but was not prosecuted according to an internal report obtained by the Epoch Times. Investigators with the U.S. Treasury Department Office of Inspector General, OIG, acting on a tip from the U.S. Department of Justice's Inspector General, found that an OIG worker was on U.S. Capitol grounds as the Capitol was breached on January 6. The employee admitted during an interview with the OIG to being near the Capitol, but made a number of false claims, including that he did not witness any violence and did not do anything illegal, according to the OIG. There was widespread unlawful behavior happening around the Capitol when the worker was on Capitol grounds, the report stated. Video footage showed that people gained unauthorized access to areas past barricades at about 1:45 p.m. the same time that the Treasury employee later admitted to walking through the U.S. Capitol Police barricade at the East Plaza. The worker stayed on the grounds, moving to the West Plaza for about 2 hours during that time. He said later he saw clashes between the Capitol Police and protesters. Video footage from the scene showed law enforcement officers retreating, protesters becoming violent, and barricades lying on the ground. The Treasury Department worker was not identified by name. The official went on to restricted grounds without lawful authority, according to the report, which summarized the investigation and was first obtained by Bloomberg News. The investigation determined that the employee went through a U.S. Capitol Police barricade and remained inside the restricted grounds for approximately 2 hours during the riot at the U.S. Capitol in violation of restricted grounds or buildings and conduct while on government property, the watchdog said. The OIG substantiated this allegation after conducting interviews, reviewing records, and conducting open source research. The employee admitted that he went through the barricade and remained inside the barricade areas for an extended period of time. It also said that the OIG also substantiated lack of candor. The Treasury Department did not respond to a request for comment. The OIG spokesman told the Epoch Times in an email that the employee in question is no longer employed by the U.S. Treasury Department. I'm sorry, we cannot discuss the circumstances of this employee's departure, he said. This case was presented for prosecution to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia, according to the document. That office declined on May 27, 2022 to prosecute the government employee. The office did not respond when asked why it declined prosecution. The investigation was closed July 13, 2022. And then this article goes on to talk about other prosecutions and so on. Now, what I find interesting is them bringing up the barricade situation. The barricade situation occurred before anybody from the Trump speech got there. They were intentionally removed by bad actors on the ground. This is not a secret. We now know this. In fact, they even tore down the, it was just makeshift fencing that was supposed to pretty much show the people coming to have their voices peacefully heard from this Trump event, where they had to stand, where they had to stop, where their limits were, where they couldn't go. And there is footage of that being ripped down by bad actors, so that was not something that these people would see. As far as the violence between protesters and police, we now know police intentionally did certain things like push old women down the steps and fire these projectiles into the crowd for no reason, even in the crowds that weren't doing anything wrong and so on, to agitate the crowd and get them all worked up. It was all very intentional, just like Nancy Pelosi not sending anybody from the reserves to come and help assist in keeping the peace. We know that that also is now fact. I'm sure our fact checkers will update their lies as we speak. They're probably working on that right now. This article I have to share because it was hilarious. I can't believe they sat down and wrote this and put it out there as though it's true. And this comes from Politico. How Donald Trump gets special treatment in the legal system. The former president rails against two-tier justice system of justice, but he's the one benefiting from it. A firebrand, sorry, I got to get that laugh out that they even said that. A firebrand politician named Donald is about to stand trial. They didn't put Trump, obviously. Just a few days before jury selection, he goes on TV to slam the charges as baseless and biased. The FBI and the Justice Department, he insists, have targeted their political opponents in a burst of partisan persecution. The rhetoric sounds familiar, but this is not a story about Donald Trump. It's about a man named Don Hill, a former Dallas City Council member who was facing bribery charges 15 years ago. The telltale clue that this was about Trump is what happened next. The judge, upset by the attempt to taint the jury pool, slapped the politician turned defendant with criminal contempt and ultimately sentenced him to 30 days in jail for violating a gag order. Today, Trump routinely spouts ineffective, far more inflammatory than anything, or if invective, sorry, far more inflammatory than anything Hill said. He denigrates prosecutors, he lies about his cases, he vilifies the judges overseeing them, and then vilifies their wives and daughters, too. So, yeah, we're just supposed to forget the fact that their wives and daughters are political actors and that they have a husband who's overseeing a case and is very partisan. We're not supposed to notice things, kind of like with Israel. Trump has never faced the swift repercussions that were imposed on Hill. And routinely imposed on other defendants in America. Instead, Trump gets special treatment. I can't imagine any other defendant posting on social media about a judge's family and not being very quickly incarcerated, said Russell Gold, a law professor at the University of Alabama. Well, they can't really incarcerate him because he's telling the truth. And the truth is out, and they know that. And if they put him away, it's not going to hurt him. He even said, come arrest me, make me a martyr, I don't care. As Trump prepares to begin his first criminal trial on Monday in New York, that's today, the tolerance of his tirades is perhaps the most glaring sign of the judicial system's Trump exceptionalism. Let's just forget for one moment that we're talking about Trump and look at the other side. Joe Biden has been caught breaking the law and was given a pass by the person investigating him on the documents cases. Joe Biden has interjected his thoughts on the Trump cases. Joe Biden's Justice Department is in charge of these fake fraudulent cases, but he's fine. He's not going to see justice. Hunter most likely won't see justice for the gun charges anyway, unless there was a decision made that he is to be thrown under the bus. Could go either way. As Trump prepares to begin his first criminal trial on Monday in New York, the tolerance of his tirades, blah, 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 I read that. But it is far from the only example. Over the past year, in ways large and small, in criminal cases and civil ones, Trump's consistently been given more freedom and more privileges than virtually any other defendant in his shoes. Well, I mean, let's be honest, they want to gag Trump, but then they allow these fake prosecutors, they allow witnesses to go on MSNBC, they allow the so-called victims to do the same, they allow everybody else to speak but Trump. And he's finally has said, and he never really stopped, but he's just decided, like, if they can do it, I can also do that. And he has a point. Some judges in Trump's cases may have afforded him unique leeway in hopes of avoiding any appearance that they are meddling in the 2024 campaign, because they are. Indeed, Trump's role as a presidential candidate who is always eager to play the martyr, right? complicates the task of prosecutors and judges eager to lower the temperature of the proceedings. Penalizing Trump before he's ever convicted of anything could stir a backlash and trigger more heat, not less. Of course it would. Because like everything I just listed, all of the things I just listed, we can gag Trump, but we're going to let this prosecutor go to black churches and claim that the way she's treated is because of her skin color and so on. And yeah, the judge reprimanded her, but she should be removed from the case, and he has yet to do so. So there's that. Trump supporters surely bristle at the notion that he's getting any preferential treatment. Yes, of course we do, because he's not. After all, he's facing judges in a felony counts across four criminal cases, and a series of massive civil judgments has damaged his reputation and his wealth. But that's what happens when you go up against the deep state. But the fact is that no other person in America, if charged with diverse panoply of malfeasance that Trump has been accused of, would enjoy the same procedural and structural advantages that Trump has harnessed to great effect as his legal troubles reached a fever pitch in the past 12 months. I don't really need to go on reading this. You get it. It's funny to me that they even wrote this and even tried to spin this, because these cases should have never been brought to begin with. These cases are nonsense. And you don't have to be a Trump supporter to believe it. That's why now all of a sudden he has more support from people that didn't used to support him. They see it. And they've come to his side because they can see what's happening. We aren't stupid like they think. People know what they can see. And they can see that this is election interference. This is lawfare, using the law to try to take down the opponent of a guy that probably forgets how to flush toilets, let alone, well, there's other stuff I know about him too, but we won't get into that. The last story I wanted to cover is this one. It's interesting, and it has to do with Trump yet again. Very Trump-themed show today. E. Jean Carroll, writer who bested Trump in court, surrenders gun to police. Police were made aware of an unlicensed gun after Carroll testified in court. She kept a revolver by her bed. Now, you've probably heard this. They tie that you know, they got to go, oh, she won in court over sexual abuse. You notice they can't say rape, like the media says. Most times they say, well, not necessarily the media. The NPCs who follow the mainstream media claim that he was found guilty of rape. It was sexual abuse. And he's taking her back to court. So that's a case that's going to court by his own choice because he knows it's not legitimate. Okay. I've said on past shows, other people have pointed out her lies about Trump actually came from a Law and Order episode. You can look it up. I know I forgot something. I was going to find that episode for this specific story and I forgot to look it up. But we will play it one day, I promise. If you, by then you'll probably all have watched it though, I'm sure. Now, she had this gun and it was unlicensed. And this is the hero of the left. These are the people that cheer on any new gun laws that attack law-abiding citizens who own guns. They cheer on people like her who illegally owned a gun, according to the law, which technically nobody can illegally own a gun. I mean, if our Constitution actually worked the way that it should. But they're okay. They will be okay with this. They'll be okay with her owning a gun illegally. Now, they took possession of the firearm. And having looked through this article earlier, the Warwick police chief, or the Warwick chief of police, went to Carroll's home in February to discuss some open issues. NBC reported the police report as saying, including that in January, Carroll had discussed in federal court during the defamation trial that she had an unlicensed firearm. She had told the court to keep a high standard revolver, 9 chambers, that she kept one at home with ammunition by my bed. Excuse me. So she openly admitted in court that she has an unlicensed gun, and they came and took it from her, and she's still free. I would love to see a Trump supporter get up on the stand and say, I have an illegal weapon at home that's not licensed in a blue state that hates that kind of stuff. And the worst that happens to them is they just come show up and take the gun from them. I think it would go a little further than that with a Trump supporter. But what do I know? I've only been paying attention to the way the Trump supporters are treated, like going to prison for trespassing and being having your rights taken away to an attorney and access to one and so on and all of those types of things. So there you have it. It's okay for the left to have illegal weapons. We know this, though, already. It's okay. As long as you're a media darling and you hate Trump, you can break the law, their laws. You can illegally obtain firearms, and it's perfectly fine. Just don't be caught on the other side as a Trump supporter. Hell, what would they do if they caught Trump with an illegal gun? I don't know. We see that they're going after Hunter. And like I said a minute ago, we'll see how that plays out. But anyway, guys, that's really all I have for you. Until next time, be safe, be prepared. Make sure you like and share this video wherever you are, or audio if you're listening on the regular podcast, because I could use the bump. And don't forget, Saturdays, Ben and Joe show, brand new show that I'm doing with my friend Ben. The last one went swimmingly. A lot of people enjoyed it. Got nothing but good reviews. And we hope to keep it that way. So make sure you check those out. We're on YouTube. We're giving it a try anyway on YouTube. We're on Rumble. And of course, I'm on Podbean. Anyway, guys, until next time, be safe, be prepared. Just don't be a jerk about it. And I will talk to you very, very soon.
There's a madman looking at you and he wants to take your soul. There's a madman with a mad plan and he's dancing at your door. Oh, what to do? Ooh, what to do when the walls are built to crumble? There's a madman with a mad plan and he waits for us to stumble.